In the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy is recorded that song which Moses spake in the ears of the children of Israel, where he rejoiced in the greatness of his God and the victories of his God and the justice of his God in overruling their enemies. Moses said in verse 3, I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. He is the rock. And he contrasts the rock, their God, with that rock which their enemies followed in verse 31, where he says, for their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Our enemies know that their rock, that in which they trust, that on which they build, is not as our rock. They have seen the works and the ways and the victories of our rock, our God. They've seen that he brought us out of a wilderness. They've seen that he brought us out of Egypt and he saved us by his mighty hand. They've seen that he's true and faithful. They've seen that he's glorious. They've seen that he watches over us. They've seen that he protects us. They've seen that he gains us the victory. They know that we speak the truth. They know we worship the one true and living God. They've seen it. They have to confess it. And they have to confess in the end that their rock is not as our rock. Everyone has a rock upon which they build and a rock in which they trust. Everyone has that which they follow, that which they trust in. They have a rock that gets them through life. Men trust in riches, in strength and power and status. Men trust in ideas and ideals and wisdom and knowledge, in their intellect. Men trust in idols of their own making. Men trust in those gods which they worship in their religions, whatever those religions may be, organized or otherwise. Men make idols of all sorts of things which they worship, ideas they follow, great men they follow, pleasures that they seek after and worship. Everyone has an idol that they follow and set up and trust in. They may trust in themselves, in their own strength. They may trust in the advice and the help of friends and family. They may trust in the state. They may trust in their politicians. They may trust in their ideals of how countries should be governed and led. They may trust in capitalism, democracy, freedom of speech. They may trust in the inventions of man in the information age. They may trust in the internet. They may trust in science. But everyone has that in which they trust and which they follow. Everyone has that upon which they build their life and their ideals. And yet whatever they trust in, their rock, if it is not, as Moses says, our rock, if their trust is not in the living God and in his revelation of his truth, if their trust is not in God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he sent into this world to deliver men from the judgment of their sins, if their trust is not in him and his salvation, then their trust is in sand. Their rock is nothing but sand, which will lead them to destruction. For they are yet in their sins. Their sins will bring judgment upon their heads and will lead them to destruction. Israel's enemies had rocks in which they trusted. Moses says later, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. Their enemies had their gods, and they worshipped their gods and trusted in their gods and thought that if they served their gods and sacrificed to their gods and did this, that and the other, that those gods which they worshipped would preserve them from trouble. But there came that day when Israel came in their midst and utterly destroyed them, and they found their gods to be worthless. Where are they now? Where is the help from your God? Those rocks in whom you trusted. Those dead, dumb idols that you made, that you fashioned out of your own hands and set up and worshipped and said, this will save us. Those imaginations of your own mind, where are they now? They're false and they're helpless. And man today has just the same. He may not have an idol carved out of stone or out of wood that he names, but he has those things in his intellect, those things he worships, those ideals and ideas which he thinks will bring this world peace. Those ideals which he thinks will make this world a better place. Those ideals which he thinks will bring a prosperous life. And he shuts his ears to the truth. He shuts his ears to the reality of a life after death. He shuts his ears to the reality of having to stand before that God that made him and preserves him. He shuts his ears to the reality that he is a sinner who is accountable unto that God. And he looks upon simply that which he can see, touch, handle and feel, that which is in the natural realm. And he says, this is all there is, and we're going to do the best we can to get through this life. And he sets up his ideals of how he can make this world a better place without God. And in so doing, he bows down to these ideals and these ideas and his ways and his strength and his wisdom. For he says, this is my knowledge and this is my wisdom. These are the things that I know and I see and I believe. And I cannot see God and I cannot see Jesus Christ. Therefore he cannot be, therefore I will not worship him. What I have heard of him I dislike. What I have heard of God and Christ I dislike. For the Bible tells me that I am a sinner. And the Bible tells me that I am worthless. The Bible tells me that I am nothing. And I hate that because I love myself. And I think I am wonderful. And I'll have no one tell me that I am a sinner or worthless or nothing. So he rails against the truth of the Bible. He rails against the truth of God and the gospel. And he rails against Moses' rock. And in its place he sets up another rock. That of his own understanding. Well, what is your rock? Is that a description of your rock? Is that a description of what you trust in? Or have you come to know that there is no rock upon which you can depend, no rock upon which you can build, no rock in which you can truly trust, except for the rock, the Lord God? He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. He is a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Is this your rock? The rock which Moses speaks of. It says in Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 44, I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou, O Lord, hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Psalm 49, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. There's no help in the strength of man, or in the riches in this world, or in the wisdom and knowledge of this world. They may seem like a rock to many, but they're a rock which crumbles away. Some people have great inner strength, great resolve, ambition, confidence and willpower. But in the end they grow old and they grow weak, and even the strongest of man fades away. In the end that strength, resolve and willpower fails. Others trust in their friends, or they use friendship or love as a rock. Many worship love as though it's that power greater than any other. But the love of man fails. Friends, even loved ones, ultimately fail us. We may trust in them, but how often they let us down. Rocks they may be for a time, but rocks with cracks, rocks which crumble. They're not sure and they're not certain. They're not everlasting. They're not perfect. Their rock is not as our rock. Our rock, his work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without an iniquity. Just and right is he. Psalm 146 tells us, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. Isaiah 31, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But who look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Oh, there's great might in men, in the power of man. Mankind builds great cities. Mankind has achieved many great achievements. Man loves to display his strength and his power and his wisdom. But in the end, all men die. All men have but 70 years or so upon the face of this earth. They're born weak, babes in the care of another. They reach old age and fall back into the care of another. And they're but vapour. They come and they go. They're but grass which grows up one moment and is mowed down the next. Our life is fleeting and our strength is a delusion. There is no rock to depend upon in these things. In the strength or ideals of man. If you lean upon these things, you'll find it doesn't last. They don't last. They won't save you. They won't help you in the end. They're delusions. Their rock is not as our rock. Our rock. Our rock. The Lord God is solid. He's eternal. He's true. He's everlasting. He's absolutely dependable. He says in this chapter, I live forever. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is the one who was in existence before ever this world came into being. He was the one who spake and this world was created. He was the one who spake and life was breathed into mankind. He is the one who by his word sustains every living creature throughout the ages. And he is the one who will speak And this world will be concluded. It will be rolled up like a scroll. It will be burnt with fire. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the one who speaks, and his words are true and dependable. He has never said a lie. He has never said a thing shall come to pass that has not come to pass. He said that he would send his son into this world to ransom a people, and that son was sent into this world, and he came and he saved the people. He has said that there is a day coming when this world will be concluded, when we will all come to stand before him to be judged for the good and the wrong that we have done. And that day is coming. All that was said of Christ coming, all that was prophesied of him and recorded in the scriptures was true to the letter. It came about. He was born in the city of David as promised. He was of royal line. All the promise concerning him are true. His work is perfect. His ways of judgment are just. He is a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. There is none like him. There is none that you can trust in who is like unto this God. His knowledge is greater than any man's. He knows all things. He knows all things from the beginning to the end. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the future. He knows what will happen before it happens. He is everywhere. He is not like man that can be here and there and travel about, but he is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And he's all powerful. He's omnipotent. He can do whatsoever he likes. He speaks and the world is made. He speaks and the world is destroyed. He speaks and judgment is poured out. As it is said in this chapter here, he says, I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Our destiny, our lives are in his hands. If we remain in our sins, he will speak and judge us and kill. If we're forgiven of our sins by his grace, through the blood of his Son shed on our behalf, then he will make us alive. What comes to pass is in his hands, not ours. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He is all powerful. His words are true and living. What he says is true. And when he speaks, there is life and power in his words. It's recorded in Mark. The disciples were astonished at Jesus' words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? They found all his sayings astonishing. And he reminds them that if you trust not in him but in this world, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Those that trust in riches, those that trust in man, those that trust in their own wisdom, will find that all these things fail them. But those that trust in Christ, in the living God, and in his words, find that these are eternal words, everlasting words, words of eternal life, words that lead them into the kingdom of God. We're reminded elsewhere, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but that they should trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. There are no riches in this world which are everlasting. The riches of this world fade away. But in God we have riches which cannot be taken away. In Christ we have riches which are beyond telling, beyond price, which no one can take from us. Their rock is not as our rock. The Lord is pictured as a rock in many places in the scriptures. The Israelites who had journeyed through the wilderness knew this in a very real way. For there was that rock given to them, out of which poured forth water that they should drink. That rock that sustained them in that dry and barren land as they journeyed through. They were given manna to eat and water from the rock. And that rock that they drank out of was a picture of Christ. Because if we drink of Christ, we will never thirst. And if we eat his flesh, we will never hunger. 1 Corinthians tells us that they did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. He is a rock which brings forth living water. If we drink of the water of life which he gives us, we will never die. Their rock is not as our rock. Christ speaks of that rock upon which he will build his church. Upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What rock is that? It is the rock of the revelation of who Christ is as our rock. The church is built on knowing Christ. And Christ is its foundation. And unless we are built upon a rock, then whatever we may call it, we may call what we build upon a rock, but it is but sand. Christ teaches that the man that builds his house upon the sand, the storm comes and washes it away. But the man who is wise to build upon the rock, when the storms come, his house stands. And Christ's church is built upon the rock. Because he comes in his gospel to those who are in this world, those who follow a rock which will never keep them, those who are lost and blind and dead in sins, those like you and me, deluded by the wisdom and the intellect and the teaching of this world, deluded by its riches and pleasures, deluded by that which it promises but it can never give, that which fades away. He comes unto us who are dead in sins, deluded by these things. And he comes by his Spirit and points us to that which is the rock. He says, here is salvation. Here is life. Here is water which if thou drinkest of it, thou wilt never thirst. Here is bread you can eat and live forever. Here is one who can take away your sin. Here is one who does take away your sin. Here is one who can save your soul and deliver you from judgment, deliver you from the anger of God against your sins and bring you into eternal life. He comes in the gospel and points sinners unto Christ upon the cross. He points them to a sacrifice and a priest who has prepared a sacrifice and who offers up that sacrifice on their behalf. And he says, here's your priest. And here he is sacrificing himself. And he's sacrificing himself for you, that he should take the judgment of your sins upon himself, that you should be spared it, and that through him you should live. Look at his blood which he has shed. He shed it for sinners like you. He shed it to wash you clean. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the blood and the water pouring forth from his side, that blood which cleanses your sins. And that water which brings that blood and applies it to your heart. Behold the blood and the water. Behold the water pouring forth from the rock. the rock which was crucified for sinners. Have you beheld that rock? Is he your rock? For their rock is not as our rock. And our enemies know it. Our enemies themselves are judges of these things. They know that Christ died for sinners. They know that he is the Lord God Almighty. They know that salvation is in him and none else. And they know that his church is built upon the rock. The rock. This rock is a refuge. A refuge, a hiding place from every storm. If he is your rock, then whatever trouble or storm may come your way, you have a refuge and a rock to hide yourself in, where no harm can come your way. This book of Deuteronomy sets before us a number of things. One of the laws that are presented to us in it regard those cities of refuge that the Israelites were taught to build. Where if someone accidentally slayed somebody else, they could flee to that city of refuge and flee from the judgment which would come upon them. And this is a picture of Christ our refuge, Christ our rock to whom we can flee when the judgment comes against our sin, as it will, because we are guilty. We have sinned and we deserve it, every one of us. When that judgment comes, and the day is coming when it will come upon us, when that judgment comes, if we're found hiding in this city of refuge, if we're found hid in the cleft of this rock, then that judgment will pass us by. Because this rock is a sure and a certain refuge, a sure and a certain hiding place for sinners. If you're hid in this rock, nothing can condemn you. No harm can come your way. Because all the storm will hit the rock, and nothing will touch us. And when Christ went to the cross for his people, he went there as their rock. They went in him, as it were, as the ark, as Noah's ark. God's people were hid in that ark, and the storm came upon the ark, but touched not them. So at the cross, our ark, our rock, was struck, and the judgment rained down upon him, but touched none of his own who were hid in him. If you were hid in Christ at the cross, if you were in him, if the judgment of God came upon him for your sins, then not one spot of judgment or anger would strike you. Nor will it ever strike you. Because it was expended upon Christ forever. He laid down his life as a sacrifice once and for all, that all his people should be forever spared, forever delivered from that wrath to come. He saved them effectually and eternally. He saved his people whom he chose. If he chose to save you, then he put you in the cleft of the rock. He put you in his side, and he took you through Calvary's cross. He took you to the cross. He took you through the judgment. He took you through the grave, and he brought you out the other side when he rose again. Delivered, saved, forgiven. You are in the rock, in your refuge, and he brought you through. He took the judgment that we might be spared. Is he your rock? Or do you trust in another? Their rock, your rock perhaps, their rock is not as our rock. For nothing can bring you through the judgment against our sins but Christ and his sacrifice for sinners. No riches will deliver you from God's wrath against your sins. No pleasure of this world will deliver you from that wrath to come. No friends, strength, ideals, intellect or knowledge will spare you from that judgment. Only the knowledge of Jesus Christ, only the knowledge of this rock, only a trust and belief in this rock will bring you through. All else will fail. All else will fail. You must be in this rock. You must be one for whom he died. You must be one of his portion. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. And he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Is that you? Did he find you in the wilderness? Did he lead you to the rock that is higher than you? Did he take you and lead you and instruct you and guide you and keep you? Did he spare you the wrath to come? Did he shelter you from the storm? Are you, as Jacob, the apple of his eye? Oh, what a rock. What a one to trust in, to depend upon. What a refuge. What salvation. Their rock is not as our rock. But our rock is an offence to many. Because they hate that salvation is in Christ alone. They hate that salvation is at God's, is in God's strength alone. That we can do nothing to effect it. That we can do nothing to save ourselves. We hate to bow down the knee to another because we love ourselves and worship ourselves. Because we're so proud. So arrogant. We hate it. We hate the idea that God is all powerful and our end is in his hands. And yet it is. And our wisdom is to bow the knee to his authority and rule and power. And bow the knee to his almighty claims upon this world. And plead for his mercy. And should we bow the knee? And should we cry out for mercy, then he will not turn us away. For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no crying out, it is not fair, because if you want to be saved, he has not turned any away who truly seeks his salvation. The trouble is the heart of man is so hardened against this. That many will never cry out. Many will never turn. Many will never turn to this rock. They'll just rail against it. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offence. He's a stumbling stone to many and a rock of offence. And his gospel's a rock of offence. Yet whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Is he an offence to you? Is he a rock of offence to you? Or is he the rock of your salvation? Is he your rock? Is he your God? Is he your Saviour? Is he? Which rock is yours? Their rock or our rock? Which rock will you depend upon? Their rock or our rock? For their rock is not as our rock. Praise God. Amen.